Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. I want to thank you for coming this morning, and I want to welcome you to this church service. It feels much better when there's people closer up. It's amazing how people like those back seats. There must be a sale on them or something. They always fill up sooner. And that doesn't matter whether there is more mostly seniors in church or not, they still those back seats. And thank you for coming to church, though. It is probably is also nerve-wracking for some people to even come to church, and that really shouldn't be. And I hope that there is very few of you that were nervous of coming to church this morning. Even though we were talking about nervousness in the ministerial room there before we walked up here, it is good to be nervous when we come to church. This morning we have our church service is a preparation for communion because you had other functions last Sunday, and it works out well because the communion is only coming this next week here in this church. And also for in McGregor, where my home is, it's on Thursday evening. And this morning they are starting with communion in the Zimmerfeld Church already. So it is a busy time of the year again. And we hope that we will prepare ourselves. I hope that you have a mindset that you want to come to communion. I want to encourage you to come to communion this morning, or this time around again as we come. And I want to give you some hope, some verses, some thoughts. And we want to, our theme this morning is preparation for communion and also communion. The Lord's table, some people call it. Also the Lord's Supper, some people call it. And I have been challenged a little bit it is not communion. We shouldn't call it communion. And when I read scripture and study for it, it's all the three of it. All the three of them. Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. The most important of it all is our heart ready? Has our heart been changed? Do we have a changed heart? Because communion reminds us of how it became possible for us to have a changed heart. So let's have a word of prayer and then a few songs before the message. God, this morning, thank you again for the beautiful morning we have. God, it's fall time and it's cooler outside today. And that makes us so much more thankful for all those warm mornings and those warm days we had. And in some way, we are looking forward to the fall and the cooler season and the cooler time and in winter time. Lord, in Manitoba, we know we need to prepare for it. And that's because you have let it freeze and snowed before here. And that is a sure thing, very likely, a sure thing that it will do that again. And so, too, we have had preparations for communion services before. We have had communion services before, and we have had church services before. And yet this morning, I pray that it will be a blessed morning again that we have gathered here. And I pray for a blessed communion evening or communion morning for this church, this congregation. I pray that you will be with us here with your Holy Spirit so that we can come close to you, and that we will let your Spirit, your Word, speak to us, and your Spirit especially convict us of anything that would hinder us in our communion. I pray that you will help us to draw close to you in word and thought and song this morning now, and I pray for your blessing. Pray that you will be with the Sunday school teachers too, and the Sunday school children, and bless them and help them also to learn to trust you. I pray that we will trust you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So let's sing a couple songs.
From the Red Book, number 53, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus My Lord. 53.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasures I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you fully trusting in his grace this
washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood?
In the blood.
In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you for that good singing, and that is a good question. That is a question. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will you be ready when the bridegroom cometh? That was also a line that we sang there, and that is was asking a question as well. And so I trust that you also could say yes to that question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So we want to go to some scripture verses this morning as we go through this message. And the first passage is taken out of Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and on. We see there, that is where Jesus was talking about the Lord's Supper, where he really instituted it. And he also says there, why, for what reason, he says that there. So starting on verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So there is that key verse there. This do in remembrance of me. He instituted it. He said, this do more often. Likewise, also he took the cup, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So he also refers to the cup, which is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So then I looked at this. I look at these few references here that Jesus is talking about. He's first of all, in verse 19, he says, "In this he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you." So he said he would give his body. His body would die for the sins of the world. And that message has been preached many times already, and even that message in these verses, we as people preach it too. Then in verse 20, he says also, the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. A testament is, the word testament here means it truly happened. When we testify of something, or would need to stand as a witness or so, we say we know of a truth that it happened. And so this is how I look at what he says here then in verse 21, in verse 20. His blood is the testament, is to testify that he truly died. All of his blood was shed. He truly was dead. He truly died for the sins of the world. And so Further on, also Scripture refers to that. That is what we do then too when we partake of communion. When we come to the Lord's table and when we listen to the message, sing songs at communion, and as we in thought, in spirit, come along with the message and allow His Word to tell us over again what it has cost Jesus to set us free from our sins, and we remember the suffering and the debt that Jesus allowed Himself to allowed to happen to Him, that Jesus gave His life voluntarily. Nobody took it from Him, Jesus says, even though it seemed like that's what the world, the Pilate and the scribes and Pharisees thought they had to, like, take it from Him and rob it from Him with force. With soldiers, they came to the garden to arrest Him. Jesus showed it to them very clearly. He showed it to them and said, and showed them that if He wanted to, none of them would have the power to do it, because as they were coming and to arrest Him, and when He said, "I am He," that surprised them so much, or that caused them to just fall as dead men. These powerful soldiers that came to arrest Him, that had been sent and that had been asked for to come and help Him arrest Jesus, fell down as dead men. And then I picture it as Jesus just backed off, kind of like backed off, and then these people started getting up again, and then they kind of like, did they shake their head even, or what did they do? But then they remembered what they had come to, and then they started taking Him again. And then He said it clearly, "You have come to arrest somebody that has stolen and murdered and done all these wrong things, and here, take me and do with me," so to say. He said, "Let it be," so that Scripture can be fulfilled. He gave Himself into the hands of the evil, so to say, of those that wanted to crucify Him. He gave Himself. And then when they nailed Him to the cross, instead of resisting the nailing Him to the cross, and instead of resisting being crucified, he prayed and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So over and over we have the Word of Jesus and the Word of God testifying that He gave His life, that He gave it for us. They didn't take it from Him. He gave it. And that is what we want to remember here. And that is what also He says here in verse 20. It is a testament. It is a statement that I'm making with my blood. I'm doing this, that you're set free. I'm shedding it. I'm giving this so that you can be set free. And what we now have to do is we now have to believe that. And I trust you have believed it and are believing it. But we also have to continue believing it. We don't just need to believe it one time, that it really happened for us personally, but we have to continually always do it, remember it, always think of it, and always bear in mind that it wasn't us that saved us, but it was Jesus that saved us. And that is what I find why He says this, do in remembrance. This is why we do it. We have chosen to do it two times a year. And it doesn't really tell us that two times is enough or that two times is too many times. But it is needed that we are reminded that what Jesus really did for us, because we can forget very easy. And we may say, well, how can people forget? Well, you and I maybe have reminded ourselves often enough that we don't forget, but through Scripture we see it that people forgot often. Scripture also covers more than one of our lifetime. It covers more than 80 years or 90 years or 100 years. But Scripture covers thousands of years, and it has reference to it that the Jewish people that were supposed to never forget that Jesus, that God saved them and saved the firstborn on that Passover day, that they also were supposed to keep it. and do it over and remind themselves over and over of it, that the firstborn had been saved, that they had been saved, that God had been gracious to them in the bondage of Egypt. When he wanted to free them from the bondage of Egypt, he was very concerned of it, that they would never forget his grace and his mercy on them. And they did forget. When you read through the Old Testament times over and over again, we find that they forgot. And they live just a straight, godless life. And then times became hard. Then times became bad for them. And then all of a sudden they turned back to God. And then they started remembering. And then God came to their side and rescued them over and over again. And so that's why I believe why he says, this do in remembrance of me over and over again, so you won't do like they did. So you won't forget like they forgot. We need to keep reminding ourselves, and we need to keep wanting and be willing to be reminded. I hope and I pray that this church and our conference will never vote out and say, well, communion isn't that important. The Lord's Supper isn't that important. We will always say, we need to keep this. We need to have this. We need to continue doing this, so we will not forget what has happened. So communion is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we receive as a result of his sacrifice. Communion is an action seen as entering into a particularly close relationship with Christ. And so that's why I think it is a very, very necessary for us to prepare ourselves and to think in our mind, what are we really doing? What are we really approaching to when we come to the Lord's table? It's not that the Lord's table is going to jump at us and do us something bad or wrong if we are not prepared and if we come to it casually. But the Bible says we are not supposed to come to it casually. We're supposed to come to it sincerely. We're supposed to come to it thankfully for what Jesus has done for us. Not just saying, oh, I need to be at communion and I need to be there just so that people have seen me there. We have to come to Jesus. We have to come and have communion with Jesus himself at communion. But we also fellowship and have communion with one another in unison, in a relationship we all agree on, that Jesus has died for us. We are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are fellow people, one with another. And that's what we do too. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are supposed to examine ourselves. I believe that. That's why it says that. That we don't come to the Lord's table lightheartedly and have all sorts of things in the back of our mind bothering us with other people or about God and what God has allowed us to happen to us and what has happened to us we don't agree on, and it's bothering us and we have a bad feeling and a hard time with coping with things and understanding things or accepting things. Those things, I believe, they need to be taken care of. We have to cope with them. Like, if there is a bad feeling that God has allowed something to happen to us that Satan really tells us that shouldn't have happened, that's not fair for you to having had to go through that hard time, and because of that you're bitter about God or about something or bitter about Christianity or something, that needs to be taken care of before you can come to the table of communion, to the Lord's table. That's what needs to be taken care of, because how can you be appreciative of it? How can you have fellowship with a fellow believer or with God at the Lord's table when you have those things back in your mind bothering you? You need to, like, let go. You need to say, okay, I understand God. In my human mind, I cannot really understand why this happened, but you know, I accept that you know. I accept that you allowed this to happen, and I'll take it. I thank you for it. You need to lower your blood pressure, should I say. You can't have it boil. You can't have it like racing, and then believe or expect a blessing at the Lord's table. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. A thought and a reminder here, or something that I really remember when I'm reading about all of this, the Lord's table, when Jesus instituted the Lord's table, it's recorded in all four Gospels. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11 has something in there that the four Gospels don't have. And let's read the first here four verses, starting on verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The word show here, it refers to preach or teach. And you would say, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher. But that's what this verse says here, that when we partake of communion, then we tell somebody in one way or another way, whether by preaching or by teaching or by witnessing, we tell somebody, I trust in this sacrifice that Jesus has made. You trust, you say, I trust. I have put my faith and trust in the sacrifice that Jesus has made for the sins of the world and for my sins. I have received the forgiveness of sins. I have accepted the forgiveness of my sins. That's what I believe what this means here. When ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And I have in depth studied this word, and that's what it is referring to. That we testify, we tell, or we preach, or we teach. We testify of it. And then in verse 27, though, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. And this phrase that I just read here is not found in the Gospels, in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and John. In those four Gospels, it's not found in. But we believe that God inspired Paul, who we believe that wrote 1 Corinthians, inspired him to include this in there, the sincerity of the Lord's table, the sincerity of it. He included it and said, but don't come unworthily to it. Don't come unrepentant, or don't come just casually to it. Don't come to the Lord's table just because it's now time again to go to communion and to go to church for communion. Don't do that just out of habit, so to say, or to be seen. But do it because you testify, because you show that this is what has happened for you. This is what you believe in. And then verse 28 also says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So each one of us has to do his or her part. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We have to allow God to tell us, now you're ready, now you're not ready. This needs to happen. This you need to do before, so that you can come to the table with a clean, clear conscience, heart. And then in verse 28, 9 and 30, yet it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And see, there is the phrase, not discerning. Not taking an account of what has it cost Jesus to die for us. What has it cost Jesus to set us free? And then verse 30 also says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We're not, as Christians, we're not supposed to be weak and sickly. We are supposed to be strong and healthy. And that can mean in both, spiritually and also physically. If we are spiritually weak and sickly, the body will also be that. Because the body does not just consist of bread and water to live on, but also the spiritual is very important for us to keep that healthy so that the body can be strong. And then many sleep, it can also, I kind of believe it refers to also many have died even, physically died, but also are spiritually dead. spiritually dead, spiritually not bearing fruit. I mean, Christians are all supposed to bring forth fruit. So if we come to the Lord's table like casually, careless, in German we would say glickjältig. Oh, don't no shoot. It won't matter that much. It's okay. If that's the attitude we have, then the blessing of the Lord's table is far removed. It is like taken back. We can't do that. We can't do that to come to the Lord's table casually or just, it's okay. Nobody may know, but God knows your situation. God knows how far back you are, how ready you are, how not ready you are. So let's allow God's word to speak to us. So I wrote down a couple lines about Christianity, and this is one line. It does not require great learning to be a Christian and to be convinced of the truth of the Bible, but it requires only an honest heart and a willingness to obey God. That's what it requires. And that's also what it requires for us to be worthy to come to the Lord's table. An honest heart and a willingness to obey God. And so you hopefully are saying, and I'll be willing. I'll be willing. You pray. You pray that God reveal to you, what am I worthy of and what makes me worthy or what makes me not worthy? What makes us worthy is exactly this, an honest heart and a willingness to obey God. And then pray to him, thank him, ask him to forgive us our sins. And that, and when we know that he truly has done that, then we are worthy to come to the Lord's table. But when he says, and he does that, he does that very faithfully. When he's very faithful in saying, I would like you to take care of this and this and this. And it may have been bothering you for years already. It may have been bothering you now for the last few months because you know and fall communion is coming. And you know that maybe this or that you should talk to somebody about something. I want to encourage you, then do it. Ask some friend to pray for you as you go and try to do this, or just go and do it yourself. Pray God for strength, mercy, and grace, and go and do it yourself, whoever you need to meet, or if it is God who you need to meet, saying, God, I'm sorry. I've been careless about this. I have been taking this and this for granted. Would you forgive me? And I can guarantee you he will, because he says so. That he will. He has promised to forgive us our sins. He has promised to forgive us everything. And he's the only one that makes us worthy to come to the Lord's table. He's the one that can do that. So two marks of a Christian are giving and forgiving. And so then another line that I found was this one. Christianity is like soap, is no good unless applied. It can be there by the sink. And if you don't use that soap and apply it to your hands, it will never dissolve the grease or the dirt or whatever you want to get rid of. It will just, the water sometimes just smears it further and further along. But then you apply the soap, which dissolves it, and then it rinses off, and then you're rid of it, what you want, you're trying to get rid of. So that's why this line here made so much sense to me. Christianity is like soap. It is no good unless applied. And so is listening to a preparation for communion church service. We must act on what God convicts us on. And then he will help us with it. Irreverence, prejudice, selfishness, and lust have no place at the Lord's table. Anything that hinders us that we can take care of has no place at the Lord's table. It needs to be taken away from. It needs to be done away with, taken care of before time. So as I was thinking of a preparation for a communion message and serving a message, in the shop as I was working by the workbench there, and I was kind of meditating and thinking of how should I bring a message for it? All of a sudden, the verse out of Exodus 3, verse 5 came into my mind. And I thought of this solemnness, so to say, the holiness of communion. I thought of it. And then the verse of Exodus 3, verse 5 came into mind. It's where Moses was approaching the burning bush that he saw there in the wilderness when he was tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And he said, I will go and see why that bush is not burning, why it doesn't just stop burning. I will go and see. And as he approached the bush, then God's voice came and said, stop. And he said, and take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. And then I thought of it. That was when Moses was approaching God, who was going to speak to him out of the burning bush, and he was supposed to take off his shoes. And there can be a lot of meaning in that. But one thing that I thought of, in a phrase that kind of came into my mind, and so what is in your shoe and what is in my shoe that needs to be taken off and out of before we approach the communion table this time? What is in our shoe that God would say, take off and shake it out of there and do something about it? What's in there? What's in there? And you know what's in there. I don't. I know what's in mine, but you know what's in yours. And so as we kneel for prayer, could I encourage you to ask God, what is in my shoe? Which shoe should I take off before I come to the communion table? May that resonate in our mind. And bring it to God and ask him sincerely. And you may have a blessed communion like you never had before. And that would be my motion prayer, that we could have a blessed communion. If you're able to, would you kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus? May God bless our prayers. Amen.
Let us take the blue book and turn to number 221. Love lifted me. 221. Let us all stand.
Love lifted me, even me, with
Nothing else could help, love lifted me. And that is true. So on the thought that I ended that first part of the service, what is in your shoe? Remember, sinful men may come to Jesus and are blessed when admitting to be sinners in need of repentance and in need of forgiveness of sin. Further, I thought, who else in the Bible, or how does God respond when we come to Him and say, "Show me, help me," when we admit that we are sinners? We need to do that. And I also believe that's what we do when we come to the Lord's table. We admit that we are sinners, that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we trust in His righteousness only. Then as I sat in the office and pondering that thought and using that example of what's in your shoe, I thought of Peter in John 21. There, this was now after Jesus had risen from the dead. A couple times He had showed Himself already to them that He was alive. And here, the disciples were on the water fishing. And then when they were coming to the shore, seemingly they had fished all night and they hadn't caught nothing. And Jesus said to them, "Cast your net to the other side," and they did. And they caught, the net was full of fishes. And then in verse 7 it says, "And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved," and there was a special disciple, the New Testament really refers to that, when he said to Peter, "It is the Lord, it is Jesus that's standing on the shore there that has told us to cast the net to the other side. It is the Lord." When Peter heard that and realized that it was Jesus, he grabbed his fishing coat maybe or some kind of clothing that he wasn't wearing. he grabbed it and put it on quickly, covered himself because he wasn't covered. He quickly put it on and jumped into the water and went to Jesus. And I thought of that. Peter admitted that he needed to cover. He needed to cover up, and he had not remembered that it might be Jesus. He had not remembered, and he had seemingly the disciples on those first days there, when after Jesus' resurrection, they saw him, and then they forgot that he really had risen from the dead. And then they forgot that he was even around, because now they were on the water there again, and seemingly even in despair, because they had now fished and they hadn't caught nothing. And then they listened to Jesus' voice and Jesus' word and obeyed him, and they were blessed. They were blessed. But then in verse 12, it also says, but first of all, then when they came to shore, then Jesus had a fire on the shore there. And then they came, and then Jesus said, bring some from the fish that you have just caught. And then they will have gone. I think it even says Peter went and got some of them. And then Jesus said to them, come and dine in verse 12. Come and eat with me. Come and eat. And so Jesus also says here now through this message to you and through the church's message, come and have fellowship with Jesus at the communion table, at the Lord's table. Come and dine. Come. But today we are saying first, but prepare yourself to come. Maybe you need to shake out your shoe, and maybe you need to put your coat on, a coat, like Peter here. Maybe you need to cover first. And so you may say, well, what do you mean? What kind of coat am I supposed to wear to come to the Lord's table? Jesus' righteousness you need to put on faith first. Cover yourself in his mercy and his grace. Immerse yourself in his love that we sing about so often. But faithfully do it. Like from the bottom of your heart, do it. Listen to him when he says, I love you. I forgive you. I've died for you. I want you to take care of this first before you go to the Lord's table. But then come and dine. And then put Jesus' righteousness on top of that unrighteousness that you have to deal with. And believe that Jesus forgave you for it. Believe that Jesus died for all of your sins. And believe also in the mercy and grace that God has for us. This very same mercy that Jesus had to allow himself to be crucified onto the cross. That very same mercy, that very same grace he gives to us that we can apply to somebody else. There may be somebody else that has bothered you so much and has hurt you so much that you have, from your human side, you have said, that person I can never forgive. That person I can never deal with again. That person I can't do nothing about it. That's true. You can't. But God, through you, can. And so that's what I'm also meaning here when I'm encouraging you to put that coat on. That Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' mercy, and Jesus' grace. Put that on and let him work through you. Let him give you the strength to go to that person. And maybe the person isn't even around, maybe you can't do that, but then you can go to God and say, I have missed. I'm wrong. I've been wrong all these years, and that person maybe has moved away or the person has died already, and you're still bothered by something. Then say to God, in your mercy and in your grace and your strength and your love, you can help me deal with it. You do it. Take this bother from me. I have missed so many blessings. I've been so robbed of so many blessings. I want them removed. And watch him. Trust him that he will do that. And I can guarantee you, if you will do it faithfully, wholeheartedly, it will disappear. It will go away, and then put that coat on you, and then believe that he did it. You didn't do it. You couldn't do it. You have already tried so often. Nobody needs to be punished. Jesus says in Romans 12, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We don't have to get even with nobody. God will do that. If there is a need to be get even with somebody else and repay somebody evil for evil, God will do it. We don't have to. We shouldn't. We're not allowed to. We are forbidden to do that. So there is nothing that we need to do other than forgive. Ask for forgiveness. Deal with it. Take that step and do that. And then put the faith, the coat of faith on, the coat of mercy and the coat of love and grace, and have all of that, what Jesus had available to that person, also available, and then come to the Lord's table, blessed as ever, blessed and fulfilled as ever. There is many messages that are now preached that the Lord's coming is close at hand because of what is happening in the world with Israel and all of that there. And it may well be. We don't know. The Bible says nobody knows. And so that is one more reason why we should come clean to the Lord's table, ready, waiting for Jesus to be coming. We can't be excited about Jesus, his return, if we're not even ready to come to the Lord's table, right? We can't be. If we say, well, I'm not worthy to come to the Lord's table, how can we say then we're worthy to go to heaven when if he should return suddenly? If the rapture should be happening, how should we be ready then to go if we're not ready to go to come to the Lord's table? You can be. The Bible tells us that we can be ready. We ought to be ready. But sometimes there is the hard things. Sometimes we have to give up on self all the way on our own strength and our own will. And what I find in the Bible, Peter, he met Jesus there unexpectedly on the water there again. Right after that there in John chapter 21, then Jesus comes to him and then he asks him the three times, do you love me? Do you really love me? Jesus is asking him, and Peter is starting to wonder, why is Jesus asking me three times? And Jesus showed his love to him there over and over again. Jesus, to me, I'm kind of like, in my human side, I'm waiting for Jesus to say, well, why did you deny me the other day then, just a few days ago? Why did you deny me then if you really love me? Jesus never asked him that, never accused him of denying him the other day. What did Jesus do? He just loved him, right? He forgave him. He had forgiven him already. And Peter had admitted to be a sinful man many times to Jesus already. And that's what I wrote down here. And that's what Jesus loved about Peter. That's what Jesus loved about him, because he was willing to admit that he was a sinner. He was a sinful man in need of forgiveness of sin. And so are we. So are you and I. We need to admit that we are sinners. We also need to admit that he forgives us our sins and accept that he forgives us our sins. And then we can come to him. The Bible tells us that everyone can come to Jesus. Everyone can come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and let him deal with it. So what's in your shoe? Is unforgiveness in your shoe? Dishonesty, hate, greed, unpaid debt, selfishness, self-righteous, disunity in Christ? Is that in there? Shake it out. If you have really enjoyed it up till now, well, I hope you don't enjoy it anymore. Take it. Do away with it, because it's unscriptural. It's unscriptural that we should be enjoying that. That's from the wrong spirit, enjoying dishonesty and hate and greed. Selfishness, self-righteousness, that's all wrong. It has no place at the Lord's table. We are totally bankrupt. We are totally dependent on Jesus' righteousness only. At baptism, we have promised to remain faithful for the rest of our lives to him. And then I further wrote down, we should love one another. God's condition to us is that we love him. God loved us unconditionally. When we were still in sin, God loved us. And so if God did that for us, then we should be able to do the possible. God's condition to us is that we love him. That spoke volumes to me as I wrote down that line. And sometimes when you're preparing a message and and meditating and thinking, there is different things that come into your mind. And all of a sudden, this is what I thought of. God's condition to him, to us, is that we love him. And Jesus says, and if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what are his commandments? His commandments, a number of them I have referred to. I've referred to already this morning. The Holy Spirit reproves us of sin, and we need a desire to have a relationship with him. Do we want to love one another? We may have at one time said, no, I don't care for that and that person anymore. But deep inside of us, God has instilled in us a will to love everybody. And so deep down inside of us, when we set selfishness to the side and our own strength and our own willpower, we will have a love to love other people, and we will also have the ability to love other people. What is the importance of the Lord's Supper? A study of the Lord's Supper is a soul-stirring experience because of the depth of the meaning of it contains. It was during the age-old celebration of the Passover that on the eve of his death that Jesus instituted a significant new fellowship meal that we as Christians observe to this day. It is an integral part of Christian worship. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and resurrection and to look for his glorious return in the future. The Passover was the most sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. It commemorated the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelites were spared because of the blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doorpost, Exodus chapter 12. During the Last Supper at the Passover celebration, Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God. As he broke it and gave it to his disciples, he said, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The account of the Lord's Supper is found in all four Gospels, as I already said so. And so we need to keep trusting in this. We need to keep believing this. I won't be able to go through all of my notes, but my notes here, I also had a couple of passages here where Jesus referred to the disciples as having a hard heart. And we would all say, well, I don't have a hard heart. And we would also be able to say, the disciples didn't have a hard heart. Well, Jesus himself said so. And what made them, Jesus say why they had and how did they have a hard heart is when they were in disbelief. When they couldn't believe that Jesus had done that miracle. When they couldn't believe that it was really Jesus who had done this and that and that. And there is a number of scripture passages where we can find that. That when they were in disbelief, then Jesus said, you have a hard heart. So let the love of Jesus soften your heart so that we can believe what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus is saying to us about what the Lord's Supper is. This is why the statement of a study of the Lord's Supper is a soul-stirring experience, because we as ministerial are instructed to point you in the right direction so you will be ready and worthy of the groom Jesus coming for you. And so I trust that you have been encouraged to be ready. I trust that you have the willpower, will want to come to the Lord's table faithfully, and that you will be looking for a blessing to be blessed at communion. And so I want to close with a little quote here that I have, and that I thought that's thought-provoking. Directions for our Father's home. And it's kind of in a poetic way written. So it says, make a right onto Believe It Boulevard. So, and that's what the message is all, kind of has been about. Believe that Jesus has died for your sins and come to the communion table reminding yourself that that's what he has done. So it's all about faith. So make a right turn onto Believe It Boulevard. Keep straight and go through the green light, which is Jesus Christ. There you must turn onto the bridge of faith, which is over troubled waters. When you get off the bridge, make a right turn and keep straight. You are on the King's Highway, heaven bound. Keep going for 3 miles, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Then exit off onto Grace Boulevard. From there, make a right turn on Gospel Lane, keep straight, and then make another right on Prayer Road. As you go on your way, yield not to the traffic on Temptation Avenue. Also avoid Sin Street, because it is a dead end. Pass up Envy Drive and Hate Avenue. Also pass Hypocrisy Street, Gossip Lane, and Backbiting Boulevard. However, you have to go down Long-Suffering Lane, Persecution Boulevard, and Trials and Tribulations Avenue. But that's all right, because Victory Street is straight ahead. You have arrived home. So hopefully we are on that street, on Victory Street. In Jesus and through Jesus, we can be on that street. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, today I thank you again for your word. I thank you that your word tells us that what you have done for us, and not just this message alone has said that, but many messages that have been preached already and have been heard. I just pray that we will put our full faith and trust in you to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with and to come to the Blessed Communion, the Lord's table. Lord, I pray for strength for anyone that needs to deal with something and that needs to become worthy. And I thank you for each one that is worthy, and that there is a way to become worthy, that we only have to put your gown of righteousness over us, your grace and your mercy and your love. We need to let it shine through us, and it shines through us when we let it and when we allow it. So God, I pray that you will bless this message. I pray that you will bless us and make us worthy for the Lord's table. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So again, we have the custom to kneel for the second time in our service. And so pray for what is on your heart and thank God for what he has done for us. If you're able, once more, kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus. May God bless our prayers. Amen.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 203. Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Corney, for the wonderful message and a good reminder on how to prepare ourselves for the Lord's table. And as you started this message this morning about being nervous, just the song leaders and myself being in the prayer room till just a few minutes before, it got me nervous. So thank you for showing up, and thank you for coming. Yeah, that's not very good for the nerves. Next Sunday, we're going to have communion here. So 9 a.m. is going to be the German service, and then 11 a.m. will be the English service for communion. And just as you can see in your bulletin, the potluck fellowship lunch has been canceled because of communion. And then, as you can see now, there's also another event added to the list, Seniors Bible Study, Thursday, November 2nd at 2 p.m. And also, as I mentioned a couple Sundays ago already, we're going to have our annual meeting here, October 24th at 7 p.m. So please make it a priority to show up and also be prayerful of it. There's going to be elections. There will be positions that need filling. And then, as you can read further down, baby dedication. It's time to register your children for baby dedication service. It is for all babies born in 2023, but also for anyone that missed it in the past. Please contact Pastor Art Weeb. So contact him if you want to register for baby dedication. And then, as you probably heard already, a new church pictorial directory is in the making. So this is by IPC Canada Photo Services. And there's a table set up in the back there for anybody who wants to register for that. So photo sessions are October 25th to the 28th, October 30th to the November 4th. And they'll be in a church dining room. And you can contact Agatha Clausen, and her phone number is in here, and also Sarah Redekop if you want to sign up for that. And I also would just like to say a big thank you for last Sunday's Thanksgiving program, everybody that was involved in that. It was a really good program that we had for Thanksgiving. And also big thank you for all those that were involved in preparing the food and serving the food and cleanup. It's a lot of work that is behind the scenes to make these things happen, to make the program happen, to make the Thanksgiving meal happen. There's a lot of work behind the scenes, and a big thank you for everybody that helped to serve. And then just there's still people who would like prayer. They feel the prayers when you guys pray. So there's Jake Wolf. He's still in the hospital. He still needs your prayers. There's Catherine Friesen, the wife of the late George Friesen. She's still at home, but she would like visitors. It's just they have to be short, so you would have to contact her before you would like to visit her. And then I would just like to share from the Sawatsky family, we want to thank everyone for all their prayers and support during the last number of weeks leading up to Elizabeth Sawatsky's passing. Thank you to the serving groups for serving the meal, and Reverend Art Weeb for doing the service at Mom's funeral. So let's keep praying for each other. Thank you.
Thanks for making those announcements and for being there if I wouldn't have made it. I'll have the nerves to ask the song leaders to sing a happy birthday to someone, to a song leader. He said he had a special day today because he had made it. So the rest I'll leave in the ministerial room. So with you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joseph. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I hope you have, you're okay with it if I extend it here a little bit. I have a nephew that I have one nephew that I sometimes I'm a little bit mean to, and he loves it if I'm mean to him. So on his birthday a few years ago, I did a little bit of math, and then I started out with saying, when you were a year old, then I was so many years older than you. That was 20-some. And then when you were 5 years old, then I was only so many years older than you. And then all of a sudden, I was only quarter as old as he was. And like that, it keeps going if you do the math, and he's catching up fast. And so I said, Justin, what will happen if this keeps going? Happy birthday. And then he just texts back and said, you got too much time. So he was mentioning that he was far behind us, but if you keep this up, you're catching up. So thank you for coming to church, and it's good to have the younger people in our group so that we can tease them, right? Hopefully he's okay with that. Let's close with a benediction out of Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. God bless. Have a blessed week and a blessed communion.